Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And today we continue a theme that has cropped up in the last few programs, the last few readings from Scripture, truly. That is of self-sufficiency. I'm in charge of my life. I do what God asked me to do, but basically I'm in charge of my life, and I'll decide what I do and what I don't do. One of the things that I think, as we come to the threshold of Lent, which begins tomorrow, one of the things I think we need to think about is, how much am I honestly, in daily life, depending on God? Because my very next breath comes from God. It's not me. Yes, I can take care of my body to make that more and more possible that I continue to take breaths. But the life breath within me comes from God. How much do I look to Him when I'm in difficulty, when I'm experiencing joy, when good things happen, when challenging things happen? Almost instinctively, how quickly am I turning to the Lord, who is the source of everything? Take a look at this in your life, because as we begin Lent tomorrow, it's such a season of grace, if we'll enter into it. If we're passive, what is there to receive? But if we actively search out and seek God and seek that our lives be more and more conformed to Him so that He can live in us and dwell in us and His light can shine through us, it really can happen. It's not just religious hype. It really can happen. And it's what this world needs, is the light of Christ shining into the darkness of our lives and the darkness of our world. So let us prepare today. Let's make this a day of preparation. If we haven't already decided, what is it that God most wants from me during this Lent? Not what am I going to do, but what does God want of me? What's the single biggest obstacle to my growing closer to God? What is it in my life? And what, by His grace, can I do to change that? Remember, it's not you on your own. But when we come before God and we admit our weakness, our failure, our sin, our confusion, and say, Lord, help me, He does point out the way. The first reading for today is again taken from the book of Genesis. How important it is to look back at the book of Genesis, to look at what God brought into being. When today we more and more identify ourselves as the author of our own lives, or we give very practical explanations to how we came into being, but nobody's looking, or very few are looking back to the first source. Where did life begin? And the book of Genesis tells us how it began. Put your roots down where they really belong, and you'll see life very differently. Genesis chapter 6, 5 through 8, and then chapter 7, 1 to 5. When the Lord saw how great was man's wickedness on earth, and how no desire that his heart conceived was ever anything but evil, that's how we are apart from God, He regretted that He had made man on the earth, and His heart was grieved. We just took it and went with it. You'd think we would say, I need to pay attention to who created me and why He created me, and then things should go well for me. So the Lord said, I will wipe them from the earth, the men whom I have created, and not only the men, but the beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the air. I'm sorry that I made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. In other words, Noah was looking beyond the circumstances. He was looking to the, quote, first source. And the Lord said to Noah, Go into the ark, you and all your household, for you alone in this age have I found to be truly just. In other words, you live justly, you live uprightly. God could work with him. Do you live justly? Do you live uprightly? Of every clean animal, take with you 7 pairs, a male and its mate. Of the unclean animals, 1 pair, a male and its mate. Likewise, of every clean bird of the air, 7 pairs, a male and a female. And of all the unclean birds, 1 pair, a male and a female. Thus, you will keep their issue alive over all the earth. 7 days from now, I will bring rain down on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And so I will wipe out from the surface of the earth every moving creature that I have made. Noah did just as the Lord had commanded him. As soon as the 7 days were over, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. Brothers and sisters, God grieves. He grieves for our self-sufficiency because it takes us away from the source. We say, I'm my own source. No, you're not. No, we're not our own source. We were given life from God himself. And that has passed down from generation to generation to generation. And we've lost any gratitude. Even from the very beginning, Adam and Eve turned away. Because we, apart from God, are so doggone stubborn and proud and arrogant. You know, God, thank you for making the earth. I can take it from here. No, you can't. We can discover what the marvels of God's creation has given us, but we're not the source. We try to say we're the source. You hear it in medical discovery. So we will conquer this. We will solve this. We will be on top of this. And we can't because we're not the original source. And without that original source, we go astray. We can reject it because we have free will. But if we do, we go astray. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He will when you put your trust in him. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 14 to 21, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. So Jesus enjoined them, "Watch out, guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They concluded among themselves it was because they had no bread. He's not talking about that. He's talking about what's the motivation of the Pharisees? What's the motivation of Herod? It's not for good. It's not for our good. It's for their own self-satisfaction and, in fact, for evil. For evil. When he became aware of this, he said to them, "Why do you conclude that it is because you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or comprehend?" In other words, he's trying to give them the spiritual understanding, and they're just so concretized, all they can see is it must have something to do with bread. We forgot the bread. We should have brought bread. We didn't bring bread. What's Jesus talking about here? We don't, you know, they're confused. But Jesus says to them, "Do you not yet understand or comprehend? Are your hearts hardened?" In other words, have you closed your eyes and your ears and your heart to the source of life? Do you recognize me? No, you don't. Are your hearts hardened? In other words, have you said, "Well, it's up to me. It's all up to me. Whatever I get out of life, it's up to me." Have you hardened your heart? Do you have eyes and not see, ears and not hear? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many wicker baskets full of fragments you picked up? And they answered him, 12. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many full baskets of fragments did you pick up? And they answered him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you still not understand?" The miracle is right in front of them. But they're so earthbound, they can't envision that heaven is in their midst, so to speak. that the Savior of the world has come, that he's doing what no other man can do. And they're so earthbound, they can't see. And that's often the case for us. Sometimes they're so earthbound, we can't see. Brothers and sisters, God gave us the gift of faith. We have to fan it into a flame. That's our job. But the gift is there by baptism. The gift is enhanced and strengthened by confirmation. It's there. Are you going to choose to just follow your senses? Touch, taste, hear, smell. What are you basing life on? Yes, the senses can help us, but the eternal truths come through faith. John Gennaro, who is a professor of theology at Christendom, wrote this, and I find it very, very good. He says, to avoid the self-sufficiency of the Pharisees, and that's what I'm talking about here, just relying on ourselves and trying to see God and what God is doing in light of ourselves, rather than putting ourselves in the position that I am a child of God and my Father wants to show me the truth, I will depend on him. Doesn't mean you don't use your own intellectual gifts, but they need to be subordinate to the faith that God has given us if we're willing to exercise it. The truth, says John, is that God, our loving Father, helps those who need help, which is to say, everyone. He gives us the help we need in the way in which we need it because we are his children. God helps those who help themselves, fails to resonate with the tenderness and dependence that our real relationship with God entails. Too often, it is a pious mask for an attitude in which we see ourselves as self-sufficient and God's help as something extra, and indeed not even really necessary. But we are not self-sufficient. We need help. It is especially true that God helps those who ask for help. Jesus tells us, ask. What is God's help? It is his mercy. There is no human person in the world who cannot ask God for mercy. No human predicament, no degree of moral and spiritual disgrace is beyond the reach of God's mercy. Nothing is if we ask. But what if you don't want God's mercy, says John? There are some people who don't even think of it. For these people, above all, we must pray. But then there are people who actually say to themselves, I don't want God's mercy. If you're thinking this way, you have already begun somewhere within yourself to desire it. Are you angry with the Lord? Bitter? Are you shaking your fist at God? Look at that little fist, the fist made up of human fingers. God loves that fist of yours. I think my 3-year-old's fist is the cutest thing, even when she is having a temper tantrum. And God, your Father, made your fist. He knows every line of every finger. He wants to uncurl those stubborn fingers and hold your hand. Brothers and sisters, as Lent begins tomorrow, let's acknowledge how much we stand in need of God's help. Let's lift our hand to him. Ask him to help us. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.